1992, there was a devastating hurricane that hit South Florida, Hurricane Andrew. Some of you are old enough to remember when that happened, and did extensive damage all across the state, but South Florida particularly was really, really hard hit. In the wake of that, there was a woman named Norina who lived in the Miami area who received the insurance check and was hiring a contractor to get her house put back in order. But as it happens, sometimes in these kinds of events, they escalated their prices a bit and did a little bit of gouging on her. And so what should have taken care of everything didn't take care of everything. The outside of her house, was put back together, and that looked fine. But they stopped short of restoring power to her home. And so she had no more money, and she wasn't sure what to do, and so she just tried to get by the best she could with no electrical power to her house. And she did that until the mayor of Miami, somebody finally had contacted the city office and let them know that this woman was living without power. And, even though it's Florida, it does get chilly in the winter at nights, and it gets ungodly hot in the summer and humid. And she had no air conditioning, obviously, and no heating. And so they called the city, and the mayor finally stepped in, and he sent some of the city workers out to go ahead and take care of restoring her power and getting her house finished right there for her. But what was interesting was when he did that, it was 15 years after Hurricane Andrew. This woman lived without power for 15 years. For 15 years, she had a kerosene lamp was the only light that she had in her house. For 15 years, she had a little tiny gas burner that she would cook stuff on. And she did that day after day after day for 15 years. Can you imagine every day taking cold showers and not having light to work with? Can you imagine all the things that we depend on that she didn't have? When they finally restored it, it was interesting because when they were talking to her, she said, I can't tell you how awesome it is to have power, back in our house. And they said, well, what are you going to do now that you got your power turned on? She goes, the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take a long, hot bath. Oh, I'll bet. I thought about Noreen this week when I was working on the message. Because the fact of the matter is, there are probably a lot of us who get by day to day, but we live without power in our lives. Stay with me for a second. If I were to use the word powerful, would that be a word you'd use to describe yourself, your life, your walk with God? Well, maybe it should be. We're in this series called Rise, and we're looking at all of the things that happened after the resurrection that Jesus did in and through the lives of the disciples. And I want you to look with me today at this aspect of it, because I guarantee you, this can be life-changing. Are you ready? Why don't you take your sermon outlines out of your bulletin if you want to track along with me. We'll throw the scripture up on the screen. I want to look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and then I'm going to jump to verse 5 for some description. But I want you to look at what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 1, beginning of, and just using verse 8 there. Read this out loud with me, this first sentence, would you? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Stop. I didn't make that up. That's Jesus speaking. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, like the disciples, we don't always know what that power looks like, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But this was the beginning of a whole new way of living for the disciples. And as they leaned in to that Holy Spirit power, as they really began to open their hearts and lives to how God might want to work in and through them, I want you to look at what happened. Jumping to chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. It says, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Read the last sentence out loud with me. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Now, I want you to see at this amazing display of the power of God. And I want to just push into that question today. What might happen for you and I in our own walk with God? What might happen in our families? What might happen in our church if we really not only believed in the power that the Holy Spirit brings, but really began to tap into that? Now, I sat back this week when I was working on this, and I was just thinking about what does it really mean to live in the power of God? And I thought of about 30 different things, but I knew I couldn't go through all of those. But so let me just give you five that I think are very evident, five signs that we really are living with power. If you're asking the question, I don't know if I'm living with power or not, let me give you five signs of that. You ready? Here's the first one. There's an extraordinary move of God. When we live with power, there are things in our life that can only be explained by the fact that God has showed up. Are you with me? In other words, are you seeing prayers that are being answered? Are you seeing doors being opened that you know you couldn't open? Are you seeing things going on that you just step back every once in a while and you go, God, now you're showing off. You know what I'm saying? Because when we live in that power, again, it may not have to be so demonstrative as what we saw with the disciples, where they're bringing people out in the streets when you walk by, you know, that kind of thing. But there should be things in our life that can only be described as the presence and the power of God. A second sign is victorious living. Victorious living. When Paul was describing our walk with God in Romans, he uses a really great phrase. He says that we are more than conquerors. Say that with me. More than conquerors. Now, here's the question. Is that descriptive of you and your walk with God? Are you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord? Or are you still kind of a 90-pound weakling? You see, if we're really tapping into the Holy Spirit's power, then there ought to be in our lives a victory that we have. And again, not that we live perfect lives, but we ought to be able to say no to temptation when we're filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to be able to not be overcome by discouragement every day when we're filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to be able to have our attitudes brought under a harness. We ought to be able to deal with the addiction. We just sang that song just a minute ago about the miracle working power of God to break addictions. And I'm going to look you down and tell you the only way that you're going to fully break the chains in your life is through the power of God. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about victorious living. You know, it's interesting because, you know, it's interesting to me when I hear, we all get discouraged once in a while. We all have struggles once in a while. We all fall short once in a while. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes there are people who every single day they fall. Every single day they're discouraged. Every single day they're negative and critical and cynical, and they're overcome by these attitudes. Why is that? Look, when we're living a defeated life, we're living beneath the birthright that God has given us through His Holy Spirit. And we need to recognize that victorious living is a part of that power of God living through us. There's an unusual courage that we have when we're empowered by God's Holy Spirit. There's an unusual courage. That's one of the things, again, you see in Acts. You see these disciples who were brought in before religious officials, and they stood strong. You see them arrested by the Roman government, and they stood strong. You see this courage that they had. Where did it come from? That came from the Spirit of God. So funny. A pastor named Steve Brown of Colorado told a story about when he was growing up, when he was a kid, that there was at one time a family that moved into their neighborhood who had a son that was about 4 years older than him. And this son turned out to be a bully. And he said he had seen this kid pick on other kids. And he said, one day, he said, I'm playing in my front yard. And he said, it was my day. And he said, the bully comes walking into my yard and he starts, you know, saying stuff to me and he starts pushing me around. And he goes, as he's doing this, he goes, I realized if I let this kid do this, it's never going to stop. And I've got this kid's 4 years older. He's twice my size, but I've got to stand up to him. And Steve said he stood up and he doubled up his fist. And he said he began to talk back to this kid. And he began to say, come on, if you want to go, let's go. And he said, as he's looking at this kid, he said, all of a sudden this bully began to tremble. He said this kid literally started shaking. And he said he started backing up. And he said, as he started backing up, I'm like, man, I've got it. Yeah, you know. And he said, and this kid, all of a sudden, he just took off running. And he said, I was feeling so good about myself. Then he said, I turned around, and my father had come out of the house and was standing behind me with a pair of garden shears. This bully wasn't afraid of me at all, but he was scared to death of my dad. Look at me. You see, we have the Father's presence with us every single day. Amen? And when we know our Father is with us, it gives us courage. Another evidence that you see is you see boldness of witness. This is interesting. You see boldness of witness. From beginning to the end of Book of Acts, you see the power of God coming out through the disciples in the way that they unashamedly told people about their allegiance to Jesus. They spoke openly about what Jesus did, what they saw him do, the change that he had made in their life. You see it over and over. No matter what kind of threats they were under, no matter what, they spoke boldly about Jesus. Now, here's the interesting part. Fast forward to the 21st century. When they do the surveys asking people who consider themselves to be Christ followers, how many of you have ever led anyone to Christ? I mean, it is such a small percentage, just like 2 to 3% of Christians have ever led anyone else to Christ. When they ask the questions, how many of you actively share your faith or openly share your faith when you're engaged in conversations? And again, it's just a very, very small percentage. Now, ask the question, why is this? If God's Spirit is living in us, we're the army of God. Amen? But we act sometimes like we're in the Secret Service. Yeah? We act as like, you know, this is the greatest story never told. Now, please hear my heart. I'm not telling you you got to be rude. And I'm not telling you you got to drag Jesus into every single conversation. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is if you really do believe that Christ has done for you what you say he has done, we ought to talk a little bit more about that than we do. Amen? I'll talk more about that next week. Last one I'm going to give you is enduring hope. Enduring hope. Whenever we have the power of God in us, we have that hope that really holds on to us. When you ask the question, why were the disciples so fearless? Why did they keep going no matter what? Well, think about it. They had seen Jesus arrested, they had seen him crucified, and they had seen him rise from the dead. And they knew that they were going to live. Jesus said, where I'm going to go, I'm preparing a place for you so that where I go, you're going to be there. So they knew this life. They knew with certainty this life was not the end of the matter. Get this. When you know, without a shadow of a doubt, when you know that God holds you in his hand, what is there to be afraid of? It doesn't mean we're going to be spared the tragedies of life. Tornadoes happen. They happen. We went through that in 2013 when it wiped out half of our town. You know, we went through that. Tragedies happen. But guess what? We move on. We keep going. We have a hope to look forward to. I love it. In Acts chapter 8, it's so funny. When it said after they had stoned Stephen, that this persecution broke out on the church, and they started persecuting Christians in Jerusalem. And I just imagine in my mind the enemy thinking this was where he was going to go. You know, now he's got all these people just, you know, just wiping out the Christians. He thought, I'm just going to stomp the church out. But he didn't realize that when he did that, it was like stomping on a square of Jell-O. And it was like, brrr, you know, the church went everywhere. That persecution led to the gospel being spread around the world. These people would not quit. Why? Because the Spirit of God lived in them, and they had an enduring hope. Just a question. Do you have that kind of power living through you? You say, well, gosh, Pastor Steve, I know I'm saved. I know Christ's Spirit is in me. How can I have that kind of power flowing through me? Boy, I'm so glad you asked that. Flip to the backside. Let me give you just three thoughts that these are so simple, but they are so profound. If you really want to open your heart and life up to the Spirit of God, here's what we do. You ready? Here's the first one. You have to seek the filling of God's Spirit daily. You have to seek the filling of God's Spirit daily. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was growing up, when our church talked about sanctification, and they talked about being filled with the Spirit of God, it was taught as an instance that you ask for the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God comes upon you, and basically, once you're sanctified, you never sin again. You know, you're perfect. Well, I found that to not be true. And what I realized is when I read through the book of Acts, is there a filling of God's Spirit? Yes. But if you read Acts, you see they were filled with the Spirit of God over and over again throughout Acts. What I have discovered in my own journey of faith, I need a refilling of God's Spirit every single day of my life. Every single day of my life. Come on. How many of you are like me? You're at church, and today you feel so good, and you're religious, and you're godly, and then you go to work tomorrow, and you become the devil himself. Yeah. Yeah. Or how many of you go home, and your spouse has become the devil himself? You know? Yeah. I love this. I saw this last week. I heard this before from John Maxwell. I just thought this was so cool. I love Tweety Bird. He says, "Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I've not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute. And then I think that I'm really going to need your help." And the church said, that's just the way it is. We need that constant filling of God's Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said, John 15:5. Read it out loud with me. He said, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, in that verse, it's kind of subtle. Circle the word remain. Remain. I'm the vine, you're the man. Those who remain in me. Because that's the key. Whether it's translated in other versions as abide, stay. In other words, we have to work at constantly staying connected to God's Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, have you ever had a vacuum cleaner that when you're vacuuming away and then it comes unplugged from the wall? You know, how's it work then? You get this $200 thing in your hand that's not doing anything at all. Why? Because it's not plugged into the power. That's, I've got that on your outline. Throw that picture up on the screen for me, would you? I love this. I saw this last week. So, well, we are like a light bulb. We're useless if we're not plugged in to the power source. And the fact of the matter is, again, here's what I want you to know. I love that you're here this morning. I love that you're watching online. I love that you're taking this in. But tomorrow's a whole brand new day. You wouldn't think of going from Sunday to Sunday and never eat another meal. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't think of not drinking any water, because you go, yeah, I'd be starving to death and I'd be dehydrated. Absolutely. Look at me. Hear my heart. I love you with all my heart. I really, really do. But there are a lot of us who are living spiritually dehydrated lives because we're not staying connected to the power. I love J. Vernon McGee, great preacher, writer. He wrote a set of commentaries. He had a commentary he wrote to Judges where he tells this awesome story. When he was young, he was at the Rose Bowl parade in Pasadena, California. And he said, I've got a front row place to stand. And he goes, and the parade was going by. And he said, there was this one float that was going past. It stopped right in front of me. He said, it was amazing. He said, it was completely covered in American Beauty flowers. And he goes, I'm just taking it in. People are snapping pictures. And he said, the parade kept going on, but this float just kind of stayed there. And he said, I just assumed it was staying there so people could take pictures of it because it was so amazing. He said, but it didn't move. He said, finally, a bunch of people came running out with gas cans. And he said, this float in the middle of the parade had run out of gas. He said, now that's bad enough. He said, but on the side of the float, it was sponsored by the Standard Oil Company. He said, how does a company that sells gas for a living run out of gas? How does that happen? Because it doesn't matter what name you wear. If you're not filling your tank regularly, you're going to run out of gas. I think you get that. Let me give you the second one. If you really want the Spirit in you, and again, this is so simple, but you have to pray constantly, passionately, and expectantly. You have to pray constantly, passionately, and expectantly. When you read the book of Acts, Christ is now gone back to heaven. You see these disciples who now have to connect with God the same way everybody else does. They do it through prayer. And what's amazing is what happens as you watch them pray, as you see this happening. In Acts chapter 4, you see the disciples, Peter and John, they've been preaching. They healed a lame guy going into the temple, and they get in all kinds of trouble for it. And the religious leaders call them in, and they say, what are you doing? And they said, well, you know, this is about Jesus, and they give this great testimony. And so these religious leaders flogged them, and they said, you know what, we're going to let you go, but you got to stop. You got to stop. And you keep preaching, you're going to be in big trouble. And so they go back to the other believers, and they all gather together. And it's so cool. I just want you at some point go back to Acts 4 and read their prayer. Because they can say, oh, sovereign God, maker of heaven and earth, you hear these threats. You hear what these people are saying. You know what they're going to do. Now listen to this. They didn't pray for God to make the pain go away. They didn't pray for the persecution to stop. They didn't pray that, you know, they could somehow skate by. Here's what they said. They said, oh, God, would you fill us with courage? Would you fill us with courage that in the face of this persecution, we will stay faithful? What happened? Look at that on your outline. Look at this passage of Scripture. Read it with me. It says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the Word of God with boldness. Man, when we pray, and I'm not talking about just saying a prayer. I'm talking about when we really do see prayer as a conversation with God. A God who sees, a God who hears, a God who listens, a God who responds. When we really do lean into God with that kind of prayer, I promise you, the places where we are will begin to shake. James 5:16. Read it with me, church. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Oh, it was so cool. One of the pastors up at Crossings Community Church posted on Facebook a picture. And what happened, there was a Little League baseball game and for 10-year-olds and younger. And during the game, one of the players' grandfather had a medical emergency. And they immediately stopped the game, and people were running to where he was to attend to him. But I thought it was so interesting and so telling what these young boys did. Throw that picture up on the screen. They gathered in a circle to pray. 10 years old, they gathered in a circle to pray. When I saw this picture, I'm thinking to myself, there are some really smart parents and some really great Sunday school teachers and workers out there who taught these kids about the power of prayer. So instead of panicking, instead of running onto the field, instead of running away, they gathered together and they pray. And I thought, Lord, let that be us. Let our first response to the things of life be to pray. When we do, maybe we'll experience some of that power. Can I give you another one? Another source that power comes from is when we praise God continuously. When we praise God continuously. When I was walking through Acts and I was trying to look for what are the ways that power of God really evidenced itself, I really wasn't prepared for this one, but it caught me that over and over again, no matter what the disciples were facing, they praised God. They praised Him. They began to lift up the Lord, and as they did that, incredible things took place. Look with me at the passage of Scripture there on your outline. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas, who had been imprisoned because they had been preaching the gospel, Paul and Silas were praying, and what else were they doing? Singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. It says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew off, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. As they pray, again, they weren't loud with prayer, but they were praising God, and in the presence of that praise, God worked. Praise, look at me, will change your life. It'll change your life. Because as we praise, it changes what our mind focuses on. It changes where our hearts dwell. It changes our faith factor and raises it to a whole new level. When we praise God, when we praise Him, we remember what God has done. When we praise God, it helps our hearts believe what God can do. When we praise God, this is the most important. When we praise God, we remember who He is. And when we remember who God is, we rest in His hope, we rest in His peace, and we rest in knowing that God is either going to show up now or He's going to take me home. Does that make sense to you? Praise is powerful. That's why I put it on your outline. In times of doubt, praise. In times of difficulty, praise. In times of discouragement, praise. In times of praise is the pipeline to the power of God. There was a house church pastor in the Soviet Union several years ago that was arrested because of his faith, and they were having this house church, and it was at that time illegal, and he was thrown into prison. And I always wonder, when you read in Acts, you see how the disciples responded, how Paul responded. Just think this thought with me. How would you respond if you were doing good stuff for God, and for doing good stuff for God, you got thrown into jail for it? Again, I wonder how many of us be going, Lord, what are you doing? How many of us would curl up in a corner in a fetal position and go, God's abandoned me. He doesn't love me anymore. But notice how the disciples praised, how they praised Him no matter what. Same thing for this Russian, this Soviet Union pastor. First morning, he wakes up in this jail cell. He goes to the door of his jail cell, and he sings the song of praise. Other prisoners started mocking him. They were telling him to shut up, all this kind of stuff. But he sang with all of his heart. Next day, he got up and he did it again. Next day, he got up and he did it again. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, every single day he was in that prison cell, he got up and he began his morning. He would step to the door and he would sing this loud song of praise. Soon the mocking stopped. Soon the jeers stopped. Soon he could hear the other prisoners silence, just listening as he sang. 17 years he was in that jail cell. 17. Sang every day. Finally, after 17 years in prison, one day the Soviet guards came in. And they let him know they were going to execute him. And it says that they took him out of his cell, and as he began to lead him toward the outer court, all the prisoners stepped to the door of their cell, and they began to sing the song of praise that Dmitri had sang every day. Said by the time they walked, the Soviet guards walked Dmitri outside, they were visibly shaken. And they looked at him and they said, "Who are you?" Dmitri said, "I'm just a child of a king, and his name is Jesus Christ." You see, sometimes when you praise God, he breaks the chains and sets you free. Sometimes when you praise God, God turns a prison into a tabernacle. So how you doing? Are you living in the power that God has for you? I'm going to ask my prayer partners if they would go ahead and come on up to the front. And just a moment, Rachel is going to lead us in a song, and it's a song that talks again about God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. You know, there was a song when I was in college by a group that many of you won't remember, but some of you are old enough to remember, called the Imperials. And it's one of my favorite songs. It says, "Praise the Lord." He says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in simply disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. I don't know what you're walking through, what struggles you may be facing. Maybe some of you are thinking, "Pastor Steve, I need some of that power in my life. I need to be stronger than I've been. I need some of that life-changing Holy Spirit power that only Jesus Christ can give." And we've got prayer partners here at the front, and I'm going to step down to the floor to join them here in just a second. But if we can pray for you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, whether it's personal, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical or financial or relational, we're here for you. And while Rachel leads us in this song, if you'd like to come, feel free to make your way to one of the prayer partners, and we'd be happy to pray with you about whatever God's got for you today. Amen. Father, my prayer today is that tapping into the presence of power of your Holy Spirit would not be a once a week or once a month deal, but that it would be an everyday walk with you. As we seek your Spirit daily, asking you to fill us anew and afresh. As we lean into you through prayer, knowing that the prayers of righteous people really do have great power and impact. And as we face life with all of its troubles and all of its struggles and all of its setbacks, and yet in spite of anything that happens around us, we choose to praise you. Because nothing that happens around us changes who you are, and it does not impact our destiny with you. So, Father, my prayer today is that we wouldn't just be Christ followers, but that we would be Holy Spirit filled, walking in your power, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Work in us and work through us, we pray, in your precious name. And everyone said, amen.